Like to follow. Page number is there, 639. So all of Proverbs chapter 6. My son, if you have put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands in pledge for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you have said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. A troublemaker and a villain who goes about with a corrupt mouth, who winks maliciously with his eye, signals with his feet, and motions with his fingers. Strange, isn't it? Signaling with your feet and motioning with your fingers. Are you going to tell us what that means, Joel? I think it's sort of someone who's a bit sneaky, aren't they? Verse 14, who plots evil with deceit in his heart, he always stirs up conflict. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Just want to read that list through again. Verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them always on your heart. Fasten them around your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and a correction and instruction, correction and instruction are the way to life, keeping you from your neighbor's wife, from the smooth talk of a wayward woman. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. For a prostitute can be had for a loaf of bread, but another man's wife preys on your very life. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his hunger when he's starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it costs him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself. Blows and disgrace are his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that passage open. Joel's going to teach.
Let me pray before we start. Father God, we come before you with all our sorrows and worries and anxieties about the future, about our jobs and our lives and our health. We come because you bid us to come. And we come because we know that you alone have the words of eternal life in your Son, Jesus Christ. Even now we pray that you would speak to us through your word. Minister to us and send us with hope and joy. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 6. So in the spring of 2021, the United Kingdom was still in the grip of coronavirus pandemic. The country has endured months of lockdown, strict social distancing, and public health messages that urge everyone to follow the rules. At the center of those messages was one man, Matt Hancock, the Secretary of State for Health and Social Care. He was a married man with three children. His daily briefings during the pandemic had become a familiar sight. Stern-faced and reassuring, he told the public that staying apart was the only way to save lives. However, in June 2021, a British tabloid published security camera footage. The images showed Hancock embracing and kissing someone who was working for him inside his office, at a time when close contact between households was forbidden. It was a shocking news at that time. The footage went viral. Social media exploded with outrage and disbelief. When families were kept apart, funerals missed, and loved ones lost, there you have a health secretary who has broken his own guidance. Shortly after the footage was released, Boris Johnson, the then Prime Minister, tried to safeguard Matt Hancock, but it didn't work for long. And Matt Hancock lost his job, but also in the end ended up being separated from his wife. We don't know. This is what Hancock wanted as an outcome when he started the affair. I believe no one starts that way, isn't it? No one starts a job thinking, this is how my job should end, with shame in public, being publicly ridiculed and put apart from my job. No one starts a marriage thinking, 5 years down the lane, this is what I want to do, have an affair and end my marriage in divorce. But things happen. We all are taken back by the things that happen in life. We are all tempted to sin in one way or other. It's just not Matt Hancock. We are all get opportunities to do something foolish that would cost us in the long run. Given an opportunity to sin, how would we respond? In today's Bible passage, the Father highlights four different types of men and was urging his son to not walk in their foolish ways. Why? Because he sees the need to warn his son about the long-term consequences. And we will see this Bible passage based on three headings. It is a long chapter, and I'm not going to go through the chapter from the first verse to the last, but I will be looking at those four different types of foolish men mentioned in this chapter under all my different headings. So this chapter is part of the book of Proverbs. It is written for believers in God. It is particularly written for young men. But I assume this issue of sin and acting foolishly when tempted to sin should resonate with all of us who are Christians. If you are not a Christian, you're welcome to listen to the talk and understand what Christians think about sin and how we seek to deal with it. As Christians, we would define sin by those three letters. S stands for show of God. I stands for I am in charge. I will do whatever I feel like doing. And N stands for no to your rule and your wise teaching. So if you're not a Christian, please do listen in and I will address you personally at the end of my talk. Okay, to start with our first heading, it will come on the screen. It's about folly, So the father teaches that he doesn't act foolishly like these four different men. So like I said, the book of Proverbs teaches us how to live in this world. So that is wisdom, coping with new situations and making good choices. And 3 weeks ago, Vicar Joel Edwards compared this to how a child learns the skill of crossing the road safely. The parent explains the principles. The child learns how to cross the road. Eventually, they have the skill to decide where and when to cross. Proverbs is not expecting God to make choices for us. Proverbs is not expecting the Holy Spirit to make the choices for us. God is not promising us to choose everything on behalf of us. Instead, we must learn wisdom so that we choose well. One of the ways of getting wise is looking at the foolish acts that others do and be warned not to make the same mistakes. And that is what the father does in today's chapter. He highlights four different types of men to his son and is urging him to not walk in their ways and be wise. So let's start with the one mentioned in verse 1, a person who puts up a security for their neighbor. So he says, my son, if you put up security for your neighbor, if you have shaken hands and pledge for a stranger, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. So do this, my son, to free yourself, since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands. So the father here, you can see that he thinks it's a foolish act to fall in the neighbor's hands. And therefore, he encourages his son to free himself. For you can see in verse 5, the same kind of wording is used. Now free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter. So a gazelle is an animal, a slender deer or an antelope with the horns. You know what happens when a deer or an antelope falls into a hunter's hands? There won't be any good ending to the gazelle, is it? And in verse 1, if you look at verse 1, you see that it says that the son has put security for the neighbor, but he also shaken hands in pledge of the stranger. Some translations say he has shaken hands with another. So it could be that the neighbor had borrowed a loan from another stranger, but he would come to the son and ask him to give security for that loan. The father thinks that is a trap. Now, it is one thing to loan a friend who you know the person and their character, but it's another to give a security to a stranger who is plotting to set a trap. A person you don't know, what are their hidden motives? The father thinks that is a foolish act. So then the father goes on to talk about another type of man in verse 6. If you look down verse 6. So if you look down verse 6, it says, go to the land, you sluggard. So this is about a sluggard. And then this is the second man the father is talking about. So in verse 9, there is a couple of questions. How long will you lie there, you sluggard? When will you get up from your sleep? The answer is, this sluggard never wants to get up from his sleep and do anything. But he will justify himself by slaying in verse 10. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of hands to rest. But the father thinks the sluggard is also another one who is carrying out foolish acts and is warns his son to not be like a sluggard. Then the father goes on to talk about a scoundrel and a villain in verse 12. A scoundrel is a wicked person. If you see in verse 14, he plots evil and stirs up dissension. He always stirs up conflict. Dissension meaning he causes disagreement among people and causes disunity. The father again warns his son to not be like the scoundrel or a villain, for he considered it to be a foolish act. Then the father goes on to talk about adulterers. Chapter 5 and 6 are also warnings about adultery. But here, in this chapter, chapters 5 and chapter 7 are also about adultery. But in this chapter, there's a specific kind of adultery that the father particularly warns the son about. It's about committing adultery with another man's wife, which you can see in verse 29. So the one who sleeps with another man's wife, no one who touches her will go unpunished. So again, this adulterer is also doing a foolish act. So why doesn't the father want his son to not act like those who put security to the neighbor in verse 1, like a sluggard in verse 6, a scoundrel or a villain in verse 12, and the adulterous person in verse 29? It's all because the father doesn't want his son to be foolish. And in the book of Proverbs, if you read through the first 9 chapters, the way of wisdom is the one which leads to life, and the way of foolishness leads to death. And the father doesn't want his son to ultimately face death. That is why he warns his son from not being tempted to act like one of these foolish ones. It is good to heed to the warnings of this passage because the father understands that all these 4 types of men who carry out this foolish acts will surely face serious consequences. It's good to stop and think, is there any of these 4 men that we might be tempted to act like? And the father would warn that there will be serious long-term consequences to it if we act like these foolish men. Then we're going to go on to look at the consequences these people will face in our second heading, which will come up on the screen. The fatal act or the foolish acts will bring long-term consequences. This is one of those things about sin, isn't it? We assume we carry on indulging in sin a bit longer. It feels good for the moment to indulge in our sinful patterns. Many a times we find a pleasure in carrying out our sinful patterns in the present, that we fail to think like Matt Hancock, what would be the long-term consequences? But the father in this chapter doesn't want his son to not take into consideration what would happen in the long term. So let us start back again with the first man, the first foolish man who put up a security in verse 1. So we don't know what the neighbor said. Maybe he said, I'm applying for a loan for £10,000. I will give you 500 if you put a security. The father knows the son might only see the easy money and not the trap that has been set for him. The neighbor would see his son as an easy target. At the end, the neighbor would make his son pay the entire money. In the present, like the bird that went towards the snare, this man who put a security saw something good and fell into the hand of someone who is like a hunter or a fowler. He has fallen into a trap that has been set for him. It is no good carrying in the current situation where he is trapped because there is going to be long-term consequences. The hunter is going to have the animal for dinner. What would happen to a man who stays longer in his sins? It is the same with the sluggard in verse 9 and 10. It feels good in the present, isn't it? You want to enjoy it a little bit more, a bit of a folding of the hands. It feels comfortable, but the father says in verse 11, poverty will come on you like a bandit and scarcity like an armed man. Son, it is foolish to carry on being a sluggard, for in the long term, there is serious consequences. Again, if you go to verse 12, a scoundrel or a villain, those who plot evil, those you might meet in school, the mischievous doers, it all starts in small ways, isn't it? They wink maliciously with the eye, signal with the feet, small things they do, motion with their fingers. When the class is happening, they are laughing at one of the troublemaking friends, go out of class, chat a bit more, talk bad about other classmates, plot to do something bad in the playground, then they go end up punching another person, going together. This is how all it starts, isn't it? It starts small, but then they go on to become a scoundrel or a villain. They even plot evil things in the society. And sometimes they look good in our eyes in the short term, you know, gangs who sell drugs, businessmen who evade taxes and cheat people of their money, people like Jeffrey Epstein who abuse underage women. In the short run, they might be rich. They have many houses and cars, have a lot of fancy gadgets, go around with different women. Young men envy them, isn't it? But the father says there is nothing to envy them, for in the long run, in verse 15, disaster will overtake them in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. This is what happened to Jeffrey Epstein, isn't it? He killed himself suddenly in prison. Who would want an end to their life like Jeffrey Epstein? Do you want that? Do you want that for our children? You need to think about your long-term consequences, my son. That's what the father says. We also live in a world where there is a God. Do we want to do what is detestable in his eyes? The father goes on to teach about that. If you look down, he says, there are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. In verse 17, haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. That is something we should avoid to do because we live in a world where there is a God. So the father encourages son to do what is right in God's eyes, which he goes on to teach. So he says from verse 20 onwards, my son, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake your mother's teaching. It's because he's a godly man and he teaches God's teachings from the Bible. He says, bind them always on your heart. Fasten them round your neck. When you walk, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. When you are awake, they will speak to you. For this command is a lamp, this teaching is a light, and correction and instruction are the way to life. So this is what the father wants for the son. He doesn't want the death that comes for wicked men, but he wants the life that comes for those who walk in the wise ways that the God has ordered for them. Then the father goes on to warn the son also about the long-term consequences of those who commit adultery. There are a couple of questions in verse 27 and 28. If you can look down, it says, can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burned? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? In simple terms, the answer is no. Now imagine someone invites you for a barbecue party. You go there and you say hello to the host who stands near the barbecue. The host says, be careful, the coal is red hot. And all you do is you put your hand on it And then you scoop a pot full of hot coal, go sit in a sofa and put it in your lap. What are you expecting to happen? So it is the same with committing adultery with another man's wife, says the father. Maybe it might feel great to flirt and chase after someone else's wife in the short run. But the father says, it will have long-term consequences, my son. Let me read verse 27 again. Can a man scoop fire into his lap without his clothes being burnt? Can a man walk on hot coals without his feet being scorched? So is he who sleeps with another man's wife. No one who touches her will go unpunished. People do not despise a thief if he steals, verse 30, to satisfy his hunger when he is starving. Yet if he is caught, he must pay sevenfold, though it cost him all the wealth of his house. But a man who commits adultery has no sense. Whoever does so destroys himself, blows in disgrace or his lot, and his shame will never be wiped away. For jealousy arouses a husband's fury, and he will show no mercy when he takes revenge. He will not accept any compensation. He will refuse a bribe, however great it is. What the father is trying to say is, be careful, my son. You will face long-term consequences. So we are called to consider what is the negative consequences of carrying on in our foolish behavior. But there's also some positive actions that the father suggests to avoid long-term consequences. And that we will see in our next heading, which is free yourself. You know, consider taking the right actions to live in freedom. This is one of those things about sin, isn't it? I think sin, the Bible teaches that there's a consequence to it, is death. But as humans, it feels like we are kind of God when we sin. We can shake our finger towards the sky and do whatever we like. We think no one is looking at us. Nothing is going to happen at us. And we also envy people like Matt Hancock, isn't it? Because they are people who can make the rules and break the rules. We want to be like them in some way. And we think a lot of times we'll get away without consequences. But the father understands that would not be the case for the son. And so when he starts to do something foolish, he thinks it's just not good enough to warn him of the consequences, but he also encourages him to take some positive action. Why? It is because the son will live free in the long term without facing bad consequences. Now, if you look back to the person who has given security to his neighbor in verse 1 and 2, we see a person who has already done something stupid, has got trapped by foolish behavior. Before it is too late, if you see in verse 3, the father says, you do something to free yourself. So verse 3, it says, do this myself, my son, to free yourself. Since you have fallen into your neighbor's hands, go to the point of exhaustion and give your neighbor no rest. Allow no sleep to your eyes, no slumber to your eyelids. Free yourself like a gazelle from the hand of the hunter, like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The father says, you don't be content in your current situation. I know you have started doing something evil, something foolish. But don't wait till you face the consequences of it. Do something night and day to find a solution right now. The father wants the son to learn from the animals. A gazelle or a bird, you look at any animal, it's not happy to stay in a snare, set by a hunter or a fowler. Animals and birds put in as much effort possible to get out of the trap. If you have seen some animal documentaries, you can see even some of the animals, even if the legs are fractured, they still keep trying getting out of the snare. They strive hard to get out of it. That's the thing the father wants for his son to do. Then again, the father points to the ant in verse 6. What does the ant do? Go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. Verse 7, it has no commander. It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. You see, the ant, even when not told what to do by a commander or overseer, it is happy to put in all the effort. The ant is contrasted to the sluggard, who doesn't put in any effort to avoid the danger that lies ahead of them. That is foolish, isn't it? So what are we encouraged to do? We are encouraged to do something that is wise, to take some actions. That is true for us as well. When we are caught up in sin, are we taking some action? Maybe we come to church when there is a time of confession. Are we confessing our sins before God? Are we praying to God daily, asking Him, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, O Lord? Take action with addressing your bad behaviors online and in real life. It's good to take action before we face serious long-term consequences. Yeah, I was watching a documentary on child pornography. In America, child pornography is not legal. So people get arrested and put in prison. And there was a document maker who she was going and asking them. She was quite shocked why people go and watch child pornography of all things. And I was asking this guy, and he was saying, it all started small. You know, when I was in school, one of my friends took me to his house to watch a pornographic video. It was all fun. I was watching it. I enjoyed it. And I kept doing it for the next decade or so. And I was watching different videos, and I got bored of everything. In the end, I started watching children's pornography. That's how it all ended up to be. It's all small, but you don't know where it all ends in and where you all end up in. And that's what this Bible passage is talking about, isn't it? It talks about the seriousness of going in the path of foolishness. It can even lead us into death. For those who embrace the way of foolishness and sin. Why the Bible teaches is because it's not because God hates us, but it's because we have consequences when we sin, like we looked last week. That's like saying, if you take a fish out of water, it will die. Or if you jump out of a tall building, you'll be dealt with according to the law of gravity. God doesn't just say, do what I tell you. He says that in the law, but Proverbs is teaching us to be people who think, who make good decisions, who love those ways. So often, when the tantalizing promises of do this sinful thing and you will be free leads rather to being held captive, caught up like in a snare and being tangled up to wrongdoings. People who make foolish decisions are led astray because he has chosen the path that leads to death. In the first place, this is a warning to young men about avoiding foolish choices. Proverbs are written to young men in particular, but the principles apply to male and female alike. But also the metaphorical illustration of folly, which leads to death, it applies to all of us. the bad choices and the good choices are symbols of choices we can all make. How should we read this? If we are believers in Jesus, we know that we fail in our lives. We have all made foolish choices. The book of Proverbs is a way that God condemns us for our sins. If not a Christian, keeping this instruction, living a good life, is not the way to live life with God. But Jesus has lived a perfect life in our place. His perfect choice justifies our foolish lives. We are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, not through our good deeds. We are also raised to a new life with Christ. His human perfection becomes the goal towards which we now strive day by day. So the book of Proverbs teaches us not to be taken in by foolish patterns of life that leads to sin and death. But the book of Proverbs teaches us to stay away from being trapped and seeking to live a life that is wise, that would free us from sin and from death. Let us hold on to this teaching and look to Christ for freedom and life. Shall we all pray? Father God, we thank you that in Christ we find life and freedom. Help us, Lord, to look into your teachings and learn to live a life that is wise in your sight. We ask everything in Jesus' name. Amen.